Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
I wanted to also intercept before you continue, Kurt, that Travis Walton purportedly, failed one of his lie detector tests.
Oh, that's just like the third rail in ufology. If you attack Travis Walton, you'll be hated. But he definitely, there's some problems with his story, some of the medical evidence that doesn't support it. But his friends were there. They swear by his story. I'll leave Travis alone. But back to this guy now, this Carol Wayne Watts. So he confessed his hoax. And then once he came back home, he claimed, well, he'd been shot out by the people that had made him lie. And he came up with this whole story, and it just got worse and worse. My interpretation of the story was that his wife was probably a partner in the hoax, and that when he told her what had happened at the lie detector test, she told him to, well, take it all back. So he tried to salvage this story. It didn't work. It was a huge embarrassment. And to Dr. J. Allen Hynek, and he basically said, yeah, after this, people will think every UFO case is a fake. Well, no, it didn't really happen that way. People have a short memory. But we were talking about Timothy Good. Well, this is one of the cases Timothy Good believes in. And this one is such a terrible case. The best thing out of it were a couple of blurry Polaroid snapshots, which if you look at your UFO history, there's lots of fakes on those. It's easy to double expose and things. So, well, while we're dumping on Timothy Good, he was one of the promoters of the NJ-12 documents. He had a set of those documents sent to him. So, there are certain people, Jim Mars presented a lot of questionable material. I think he was, a lot of these people are sincere, but in digging so hard, I think that they're going to come across some fool's gold now and then.
Well, yeah. I mean, nobody's perfect. And I hear what you guys are saying about Tim Good, but when you go back to, he took out some of the problems that were in Above Top Secret and republished it in a book called Beyond Top Secret. And it's really good. But then you watch how they kind of slide. And at some point, they jump the shark or go over the edge. What happens to people? How does a person who seems otherwise really responsible, he was working with QFOs, slide that far into the fringe, so to speak?
Well, I'm going to sort of insult the Paracast in a way, but you've got to deliver a show week after week. UFO Magazine has to fill an issue with a number of stories every time, and not that there's even anything in print anymore. And then a UFO television show or a UFO, a conference. They've got to have, you would think they would have new speakers. It's the same ones over and over. And those speakers, though, are they're under pressure to produce new material. There just aren't that many good cases. There aren't many good new developments. And some of them, you either have to rely on inferior material, and sometimes there's been a reliance on invented material. This is not strictly a problem for UFO research. Research scientists are also under pressure to produce. Anybody that's underproduced, regular, there's been mainstream journalists that have been caught faking interviews and things like that. So it's part of the fact that the machine is grinding product out, and you're under pressure to produce, or you lose your job.
So, I mean, you mentioned the Paracast there, and I'm feeling that with the show too. And I have really been trying a lot harder to be more emotionally intelligent with my guests instead of just outright saying, look, that's nonsense. Because if you don't treat your guests well, they simply just won't come back and you won't have a show. So I can appreciate what you're saying. How do you think we should solve that problem? I mean, do you think we should just, you know, out with it and go, oh, well, you know, if they never come back, that's too bad. Or how do we deal with that problem?
Well, I think you have a range of people on with varying opinions. You know, you try to stick to credible sources. You know, I don't listen to each and every show, so I can't say what you've had. I know that you had my friend Jim Mosley on, and he was a legitimate researcher, and he had also perpetuated some hoaxes. So if you cast him out for the hoaxes, you would never hear about the things that he did, particularly in the 1950s, where he was reaching people. He was basically knocking on doors and talking to witnesses, and he did some great field research. So I don't think that you should just avoid anyone that has a black spot on the record.
Well, in the case of Jim Mosley also, he owned up to the scams he pulled with Gray Barker. He confessed. And we set that aside. Certainly when he got into the Saucer Smear publication thing, he was doing it with a twinkle in his eye, but he was never less than factual or never less than trying to be factual. As you see in the early years when he had Nexus, then Saucer News, the magazine sometimes was too dry and too serious, but if you looked at it as a good compendium of information about the UFO field and the personalities, there's a lot of good stuff there.
That's true. And, you know, I mentioned him just because he was someone who had a spectrum of credibility in a way. But, you know, I think that you've done a pretty good job. There's also some value sometimes in getting someone who's talking about something controversial and then just hearing their side of it, you know, and sometimes it's going to fall apart. You know, I've heard some guests on the show in the past do that. So,
one of the things I like to do and one of the things I'm trying to do is to look at ufology. Well, and to use one of the words you were using, as a spectrum, as a largely cultural phenomenon, where, yes, we have these interesting, colorful personalities out there. And if we talk about them in a way that says, like, if we talk about, well, how does someone like Tim Goode, you know, go out to the fringe? If we talk about the subject matter from an objective point of view, instead of from a believer's point of view necessarily, then I think it's fair because we can look at it from a more academic perspective that way, say like Paul Kingsbury does, and we can go, yeah, it's colorful, it's ridiculous sometimes, but it's also sometimes very entertaining. And there really isn't anything wrong with any of that if it's taken in the proper context.
Well, it's a fact that ufology is, well, you know, it's kind of a bad term because it's meant to be the study of UFOs. You know, it sounds like it's we're on the verge of it becoming a real science. But as it's used, it includes conferences and UFO TV shows and books and everything. So it's also, it's intermingled with the entertainment industry. And there's a certain segment that are, not terribly concerned with just how truthful it is. And in some level, they're the same, the same attitude and mindset that enjoys pro wrestling. You know, they want a show.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, but I think that's also part of what makes it fascinating. And we had Bryce Zabel on not long ago. And of course, he's, you know, Hollywood film producer. And has produced some really good shows too. Very fictionalized, but thought provoking and good entertainment.
With Bryce, despite the fact that he produces sci-fi and other stuff that's fictional, he has a respect for facts. He worked as a CNN correspondent and he really has a serious interest in UFOs. Kurt, Randall, Gene, you're in
the Paracast.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Join me, George Norrie, in Indian Wells, California, May 29th to June 1st for the Contact in the Desert UFO Conference, an epic weekend of exploration into UFOs, ancient civilizations, crop circles, and so much more. Over 150 lectures, panels, workshops, and events with leading experts, Paul Hellyer, Linda Moulton Howe, Nick Pope, Emery Smith, Stephen Greer, Russell Targ, Doc Wallach, Leslie Kane, and more. Get your tickets at contactinthedesert.com. It's time to make contact. Contactinthedesert.com.
Message and data rates may apply.
Help! Seriously, I'm too young for hair loss.
My hairline keeps creeping back. Receding?
I got this bald spot. It's thinning everywhere.
I'm gonna have to give up and shave it.
Dude, put down the razor, because Bosley, America's number one hair restoration expert, is about to give you your real hair back permanently. Don't ignore the signs of hair loss. Bosley is giving away an absolutely free information kit that reveals all the signs and a free gift card to anyone who texts KIT 88 to 85850. Bosley will show you for free how great your hair could look. Using the latest technology, Bosley's solution to hair loss is permanent and protected by the Bosley Guarantee. Plus, since Bosley has new non-surgical options, you owe it to yourself to text now for an absolutely free information kit and a gift card for $250 off, no matter what level of hair loss you have. Text KIT 88 to 85850. KIT 88 to 85850.
Do you feel like many of us? All the distractions in the world taking our minds and focus off what really needs to get done day to day? Well, Jeunesse has a dietary supplement called Mind to help with mental distraction, and it supports memory function. Go to GCNLife.com now to check it out. You're only at your best when your mind is at its best. Go to GCNLife.com or call toll free 844-443-6637. That's GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
Speaking briefly, of course, about Bryce Abel, and then, of course, he does those alternate histories. You know, the one about the Beatles and JFK that are fascinating.
Oh, yeah, I love that stuff. So, yeah, so long as it's all taken in the proper context, there's no reason that sociology can't be also part of ufology. It can work. It's just how we deal with it.
Well, that's true. And it's fascinating to look at some of the experiences of people who, I'm not so interested in abduction, especially the kind of abduction reports that are indistinguishable from dreams. You know, someone was taken in their bed, they're returned to their bed, there's no physical evidence, and all you've got is their story and their feelings. And there's some other cases, though, where it's a lot more compelling than that. And these people have, they've had some kind of experience. And, you know, it's a matter of belief, though. And you may have a person who has, what if a brain circuit misfired and gave them this experience? Nevertheless, it's real to them. And it's interesting to see how that changes them. You can't take that and, Project Blue Book would never wanted to deal with that sort of thing. But from a sociology point of view, you know, what is this? Well, it may be more for a religious scholar, but that's worth considering. And, you know, how does this compare with, well, with a better documented experience? Not that, you know, we have many of those, but do you understand what I'm saying? There's some value in it.
Yeah, I kind of like to be that sort of, as skeptical as I am, I still like to be that sort of glass half full person, more of an optimist. I look at the field as colorful, interesting, informative, and so long as you can separate out the fact from the fiction and you can get a lot out of it. It's just a wonderful field. I'm just as fascinated now as I was with it when I was a kid, because there are so many interesting things that come out of it.
One of the problems that we have is, you know, I mentioned about how there was this need to produce, and there's the entertainment aspect of it. Wants to turn these figures into celebrities, particularly the witnesses. And a person that comes forth, it's happened over and over since the 40s. Someone comes forward with a story, they have all this unwanted attention. There's ridicule, there's jokes and things like that. And it's, you know, now the hoaxers, they actually want this attention.
Of course they do. I mean,
well,
you know.
See, but how are we to know? How are we to separate? And I've kind of thought, well, when in a medical study, they take the data about the person, but they protect the person's identity. Now see, this would starve the hoaxers, and you know, you may still get some polluted data. But you know, what if we start treating the witnesses on that basis, where anonymity was the rule? And, you know, if somehow, you know, there would be rare exceptions. Hopefully, if there was a military pilot that was involved in a case and they chose to come forward, that would be something. You know, you could say that their institution is going to offer some protection and things like that.
Well, sure. I mean, when you see the interview with David Fravor from this Tic Tac UFO incident, he comes across as very credible. It doesn't seem like he's trying to create any cult of personality around himself. Certainly not like Elizondo and the To the Stars Academy people. Pilot. I mean, we're talking about a group leader, like off the aircraft carrier, was flying these machines, saw this thing with his own eyes. That's pretty credible stuff.
But just think, when was the last time you heard about that? And you go back to the 40s and 50s, not so much the 60s, but there were people that airline pilots, military pilots, you know, we had their names, their record. Well, it was bad for their careers. They stopped talking about it. And I think there's no telling how many UFO reports we've never received as good or better than anything we've ever heard of. And it's quiet because they didn't want their family bothered, didn't want their jobs ruined, their career. I think that's a real problem. And, you know, that's the only solution I've been able to think of, is this medical model. Now, you know, in journalism, when you have, you know, I was talking about Tim McMillan's anonymous sources, and that's problematic because that's overused, particularly in some unscrupulous UFO researchers, where you need to produce evidence, you have a whistleblower, you know, it's really dramatic. But in journalism, there's a standard where usually you have an editor or two, you know, they know the identity of the witness. The material is checked out. You know what there usually it's not as an extreme example as a UFO report. Usually it's something about, you know, like a government paper or some procedure or something they can track. So I mean there's a way to verify the material beyond just the person's identity. But nevertheless, the editor has that information. They protect it, and the writer has the editor's backing. So if there was some kind of model like that for the UFO witnesses, I think that they would be a whole lot more comfortable knowing that there was a system to protect their identity, and that they're not going to be lumped in with a lot of disreputable reports.
Yeah, NARCOP does a lot of that, actually. So they are focused mainly on pilot sightings. So, and they have anonymous reporting, and they have a lot of case files too. But I kind of question, how many more case files do we need? We've already got garages full of case files that are, you know, starting to decompose because nobody's had the time to get to them and pull them out and collate them and analyze them and catalog them. We already know the alien visitation is real. Exactly where they're coming from, undersea, another dimension, another star system, interstellar, we don't know for sure. But I think anyone that does enough research and reading and has sifted out all of these things that we're talking about, the disreputable from the reputable, knows something is going on. Do we really need the government to tell us now? What do you think about this whole disclosure thing? Is Stephen Bassett right? Is 2020 going to be the year?
Oh boy! So you've got a little more confidence in the nature of what UFOs might be than I do. I have a lot of uncertainty about that, and I think there's a spectrum of things. I keep using that word, but there are definitely some mistaken reports, some false reports. There's a genuine signal out there somewhere. And you're right. We do have a number of those. Unfortunately, there's so many of them are ambiguous, but you can put together at least 10 or 20 of ones that say, okay, these were serious people. They saw this. Here's the military involved. There's equipment and everything. So that's enough to keep it all going.
Let's keep going right now with Kurt, Gene, and Randall. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, but soon you'll need a plan and place to survive. Forget bunkers. You're not a live underground gopher. You need survivalist camps, the ultimate fully functional off-the-grid mobile survival bug out house that's well equipped and custom built to outlast any other RV or trailer. Bold statement, you bet. See them now at survivalistcamps.com. That's survivalistcamps.com. Trust your family survival to survivalistcamps.com.
With more people listening to radio than visit Google, Facebook, or YouTube, from the very young to the very old, everyone listens to radio. Pillow companies, alarm, identity theft, nutrition, insurance, banking, automotive, the list goes on and on. Billion-dollar businesses, why? The answer is radio, the media everyone tunes into. Find out how effective and affordable radio can be for your business. Contact 877-996-4327 or advertise at GCNlive.com.
USA Radio News with Wendy King.
We have Oregon's first case of the COVID-19 coronavirus.
That's Oregon Governor Kate Brown. Health officials there, in California and in Washington State, are worrying about the coronavirus after states are now reporting presumptive cases of three people who've been infected by unknown means. the patients, including a high school student in Washington and an elementary school worker in Oregon, had no known close contact with a traveler or infected person. There are two similar cases in California. A 65-year-old woman who lives in Santa Clara County, just south of San Francisco. Dr. Sarah Cody is the director of the Santa Clara County Health Department.
The individual is an adult woman with chronic health conditions who was hospitalized for difficulty breathing.
This is USA Radio News.
Does your business spend $500 a month or more on gas and electric bills? Did you know by making a simple free phone call, you can save up to 25% on your bill every month? What could you do with a 25% savings on utility bills every month? Energy deregulation is now available in your state. Making one simple phone call will show you how we can lower your gas and electric bills instantly, with no changes to your bill and no enrollment fee. This is a free service. The only thing you'll notice is a lower bill every month. Call U.S. Power and Light right now. Learn how easy it is to lower your utility bills for your business and save money. We promise. So if you spend over $500 a month on your gas and electric bills, please call right now and unleash your savings.
800-941-3381. 800-941-3381. 800-941-3381. That's 800-941-3381.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with Reputation Defender. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with Reputation Defender. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771. For your free reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with Reputation Defender. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771.
This is Jacques Vallée. You're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
We're talking here about focusing on a small number of cases that prove it, and stop talking about Roswell and MJ-12, actually, Kurt. What do you think?
And the word disclosure was mentioned. Okay, there's so much of what people are asking for in relation to the government is more than what the government, they don't have what people want. They don't have, they have conclusive proof. They don't have documents showing that there's a treaty with alien this or that, or, you know, the blue aliens or anything like that. What they have is, you know, a number of mysteries. So it's so much of this deals in a matter of belief. You know, the government is supposed to keep out of matters of religion, and this comes awfully close to that. So I don't think, and the government is not, are they, I guess, you know, they would interfere in citizens' lives in certain ways, like with the FDA and regulating and drugs and purity of food and things like that. But as far as it's something like this, they're not supposed to be determining scientific fact and telling you what to think. So I think it would be great if they encouraged scientific research, but I don't think we should determine. Hey, we don't need a minister of truth telling us what to believe and what not to believe.
Yeah, oh, definitely. Like, we have people like Stephen Greer, who is, he wants to see the disclosure thing, and he's got this whole model of what the aliens are and what they're like and everything that goes along with him and his particular belief system. I think Christopher O'Brien used to say, he used to call it a cult of personality, where he's made it into his business to be this ufology personality. That's, I have to agree with you there. That's problematic. I think someone like Stephen Bassett, who's just been at it year after year after year trying to get the truth out, actually deserves some respect for that, which is different.
Yeah, and unfortunately, you know, we were talking about choosing some dud cases. That's happened again and again. You know, where he's gotten a witness and given him a platform that wasn't so credible. And he's even, I think he admitted on the show once that he didn't have time to vet all these people. And, you know, that's unfortunate. I think the cause is good. It's going to be imperfect. I think you probably get an advocate for any group, and you're going to have some extremists and some people, some unpleasant characters. But I think, you know, so separate the idea. So, you know, I admire that he's pushing for more information, but the absolute goal of having the government admit and acknowledge the extraterrestrial presence, I don't think that's ever going to happen. I think and they've admitted since the 1940s, you know, sometimes very explicitly, you know, here are cases that are unknown that we cannot explain. You know, they basically acknowledge that there's a phenomenon, but and they also don't deny the fact that there's extraterrestrial, the possibility of extraterrestrial life, and, you know, it's unexplored and it's probably out there somewhere. You know, they want to say that, yes, that's what this is. You know, they're leaving that possibility open. And I think that's all they're ever going to be able to do, unless some movie-type scenario, you know, comes true in real life.
You know, like District 19 or something where some, you know, craft comes down and there's no way anyone can deny it anymore. There's a District 9, which was it? I forget exactly. You know the movie I'm talking about? Where the-
oh, yeah. And, you know, what if some other, what if it's more like, what if it's another movie instead? You know, what if it's more like Stargate and portals are opening and the aliens are coming through? You know, so.
Or the day the Earth stood still or something. You know?
Yeah.
I mean, it'd be pretty hard for people to deny that at that level. But I mean, then again, the individual witness, I'm a big proponent for the individual witness because I don't believe everybody is hoaxing. I think hoaxes, forget the internet these days, but hoaxes from real witnesses who are sincere about their stories, there's just too many of them out there to think that it's all fabrications and misperceptions. We're talking thousands and thousands of people. I'm included in that set. There's no way I think anyone can explain the thing I saw. I'm not sure if we've ever asked you if you've had an experience of your own, Kurt.
I've seen a few things that were UFOs to me at the time. And the one that's kind of puzzled me, you know, the first one was the grabbed me the most, and it was like the afternoon sun, a flaming cigar kind of thing. Well, basically, as it turned out, it was just the fuselage of an aircraft catching the sun. But it really had me going for a while. I've seen some lights, but there was one a few years back. I was driving along the road. It was in the afternoon sun, and I eventually decided that it must have been airplanes, distant airplanes near an airport. And I've kind of located maybe the airport that it was. But what they actually looked like, and the first thing I thought was that it looked like a cluster of like, 10 or 12 fireflies. That's the way they seemed to move. I mean, this has been some time ago. I didn't have a camera. I didn't take detailed notes at the time, but my impression was that it was, the flight was more, well, it wasn't so much like aircraft, and the fireflies is what, mm-hmm. you know, the motion, you know, sort of almost a swarming or circling motion. So
it reminds me of these kind of drone swarms people are reporting these days. Was it within the last decade or so when these remote control drone groups have been out playing with them? Maybe
it is within the time period, but with the location, I mean, this wouldn't fit for anything like that. But it's interesting that you mentioned those because you know we were talking earlier about the manipulation that can take place. you know, we're basically a magic act. These drones, I've seen videos of them where there were, you know, probably dozens, maybe hundreds of them that were flown in formation. And I'm sure this is like some predetermined computer program doing it to do this so perfectly. And they can form corporate logos and just, you know, anything, Christmas tree. And so if that was put to the purpose of fooling someone, you could form a, you know, a big circular outline that resembles a UFO. So the potential is there. Now it's not going to be able to go faster than a jet or anything like that, but it could create an illusion, particularly if you had a group of two of them in a widely, in a big distance that's within viewing range. You know, one disappears, the other one appears. It's looked like it's a teleported face.
Right. Yes. I see what you're saying. Yeah. You could create the illusion with it. I mean, sure. Why not? I mean, these days, how do you know? That's just the other thing is, it would have to be so good that you could literally go up and knock on the thing and touch it and go on board. And for the skeptics, they'd also need, you know, a trip to Zeta Reticuli to go along with it where they could experience the whole thing, because otherwise I don't think that they would believe it. And I don't blame people for disbelieving things these days because of that. But your specialty and the thing that you seem to be most interested in, not unlike myself, is things that happened during the golden era of ufology, 1947 to 57, so to speak. So what are some of your favorite cases from back then?
You know what? We'll have those favorite cases beginning in our next segment with Kurt Collins. And he's explored a lot of it. He's looked at the history of ufology, and a lot of that relates to what's happening today, because things are repeating themselves, and I hope we start to learn from that. So it's Kurt, Gene, and Randall. You're in
the Paracast.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on the special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there's The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
Would you like to get back that full head of hair from years past? Now, there is Reveal. Beverly Hills celebrity dermatologist Dr. Nathan Newman took nearly a decade to develop Reveal from natural botanicals to return to a full body head of hair. Reveal for men and women with a 30-day money-back guarantee at GCNlife.com or toll-free 844-443-6637. 844-443-6637. Reveal at GCNlife.com.
Anytime, any place, anywhere. Radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise at GCNlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise at GCNlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Non-attorney paid spokesperson. Could your house go into foreclosure? Are you behind on your mortgage payments? Does it seem like the bank has no interest in helping you save your home? And you feel like you have nowhere to turn for help? Then we have good news for you. Foreclosure Protection Services can help save your home, as they specialize in foreclosure assistance. That's all they do. If you're behind on your mortgage payments, being threatened with foreclosure, have been denied a loan modification, or been the victim of a predatory loan, it's critical that you call Foreclosure Protection Services now at 800-667-9035. Their network of attorneys and their agents are available to speak to you now. If you're behind on your mortgage payments, Foreclosure Protection Services can help stop the foreclosure process. Call today before it's too late. New laws are in effect and may save your home. Call Foreclosure Protection Services now at 800-667-9035. 800-667-9035. That's 800-667-9035.
This is George Norrie from Coast to Coast AM and History Channel's Ancient Aliens, and we're proud to promote amazing energy, nutrition, and skincare products from Jeunesse. Visit GCNLife.com for products like Luminesce. The Luminesce Anti-Aging Skincare line restores youthful vitality and radiance to your skin, reducing the appearances of fine lines and wrinkles with stem cell technology. There's also Instantly Ageless, which works within 2 minutes, reducing under-eye bags, fine lines, wrinkles, and pores. Jeunesse has products to help you with how you look and feel in a very short time. Nobel-nominated Dr. Vincent Jampapa has designed several products helping the body perform better. Jeunesse products have a 30-day money-back guarantee, and they're available up to a 25% preferred price discount. See all of the amazing Jeunesse products at GCNLife.com or call toll-free 1-844-443-6637. 1-844-443-6637.
Hi, this is Bryce Abel. I'm the producer of Dark Skies, the co-author of AD After Disclosure, and you are listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
So, Kurt was asked by Randall about some of his favorite classic cases. Kurt?
I think probably my most favorite case is from April 1949, and it was written up in Life magazine, and a lot of people won't recognize the name of the case or maybe even the saucer, but a dramatic depiction of it was put on the cover of Major Donald Kehoe's book, Flying Saucers Are Real. And the way the story came out, there was this Robert McLaughlin was a Navy commander at White Sands missile testing. And one of the people working there was, the people who know this man's name, C.B. Moore. They know him from his debunking work on Roswell, but he was a General Mills employee launching balloons for the military for testing. So they're out there with equipment, launching balloons with a team of, I think, five men. And so they've got this balloon up in the air. They're tracking it with the device, you know, looking through the eyepiece. And then they say, hey, what's this? And there was this this object, which, you know, it may have been in the upper atmosphere. It was I think kind of yellowish and oval shape, and it seemed to dip down and then, you know, move off at high speed. You know, the particular motions are not sure, but it didn't look like an aircraft, and it wasn't one of their balloons. And they got a glimpse of it, a good look of it through the eyepiece there, and you had a scientist, a group of observers, and this wasn't this wasn't one of those things. This wasn't a bird. It wasn't somebody else's balloon. You know, there's the slightest possibility that it's like a bolide glancing off the atmosphere. I've heard that explanation, but Moore himself, you know, it was a genuine sighting of something. He talked about it. He had an interest in UFOs. Many of the other General Mills engineers and field operatives had also had similar sightings. And, you know, they spoke about this and were interviewed in the press. But initially, the story didn't come out. It was McLaughlin, the Navy commander. He was infatuated with the flying saucer mystery, spoke to the press about it, gave the details of the sighting, and later it was published in Life magazine and C.B. Moore's name came out. So that was one of the, and it was this case because, first of all, you had a military officer who had had his own sighting in addition to this. Now, he didn't witness this, but he heard about it and had seen other things. The credibility that this gave the topic, that a scientist was involved, this really helped build the flying saucer acceptance as something, you know, scientifically backed. You know, without that story, Major Kehoe's story just kind of might have faded away, but this added some credibility to it all. So I think it was really pivotal, and I think it was a good signing besides.
And also before 53 with the Robertson panel, there wasn't that so much of the stigmatization. So it really was kind of a curiosity for a lot of people. The whole stigmatization came about after the Robertson panel with their recommendations to start ridiculing people, including pilots. So this is why I also love some of these early cases that are like that as well. And when we were talking just briefly before the show, you were saying that back in those days, because this was not long after World War II, you had what were called ground observers who actually had training in identifying different kinds of things in the sky.
That's true. And later they had a ground observer corps in the 50s. There were some good sightings that came about as a result of that. And they also eliminated a lot of things where they were able to rule something out as a balloon or stray aircraft or things like that. So, but the ones that interest me the most are the pilot sightings, because they're up in the air above some of these other false suspects that sometimes get reported. So, and particularly the people that have had military experience, so they've seen enough things not to be fooled by a trick of the light or to see Venus, and which does cause a lot of UFO reports. But so these I've gone blank on his name. He's come to Project Blue Book. He had Edward Ruppelt. He had a signing of I don't know if they were calling them Foo Fighters when he saw it, but he saw some of those. So, that was interesting that he wound up investigating UFOs, that it was common enough during World War II that he happened to have seen those. And, he had real mixed feelings about UFOs. He knew that, I think he was kind of outraged that at some of the people promoting Ray Palmer and George Adamski, he saw all these people as fakes and phonies that were basically trying to put something over. But he also had an insider's view of the military, and he knew how their bureaucracy and resistance to ideas and also the need to protect their own reputation was causing some of these cases not to be very well investigated. It was more a matter of, we've been given the job to investigate this. Let's come up with some answers. Let's close these files and keep the public calm and satisfied.
Well, Ruppelt, he saw the estimate of the situation, where their own engineers and military people who were evaluating all the sightings that did get into the investigative procedure, in other words, not the ones that got thrown in the trash, they concluded that these were probably something back in those days, they said interplanetary, and the big theory was Venus. And of course, today we know that just isn't going to be the case, but still for people who were genuine scientists, military engineers, to look at these cases and go, look, there's nothing that we can make that can do this. There's got to be from somewhere else. And that was an official estimate in the military that he saw. So what more do we need? When I'm just like, this is back to the same question. If you look, we've already got the answer. We've been visited. We just don't know exactly from where yet.
Some of those early cases so puzzling too, because they involve formations of UFOs, large objects, brilliant, sometimes flaming, and the maneuvers, and they don't even make sense as flying objects of any kind. You know, some of them were like disc-like, flipping end over end. You know, I think this is why some people, Kenneth Arnold, he came to the conclusion that these were actually living creatures because, you know, they were basically flocking and the erratic movements and things. Now, I don't necessarily buy that, but I don't know that they're necessarily spaceships. And some people have said that there's been the theory that what if they were spaceships, they're basically scout ships, and anything that travels interplanetary is larger, you know, basically the mothership idea.
Right.
So, you know, and there's a lot of thought on that.
That was Friedman's sort of take on the whole thing, that they're interstellar. They come in a mothership, which has been reported, and then they have the little shuttlecraft that fly around, or the probes that fly around and do mapping, or they're essentially like drones. A lot of them probably don't even have occupants in them.
And then you have people that believe they're Vimanas from Atlantis. So,
well, that makes it.
Wait! There are no Vimanas from Atlantis. I'm disappointed.
Well, you know, now if we look at this as far as the evidence that we can take to a scientist, there is equal evidence for the extraterrestrial origin and Vimanas. So, you know, what we have are observations for the most part. You know, we don't have a piece of one that's verified. There's a number of those that this metamaterial that you hear about. Usually it's things that it's without provenance. You know, sometimes it was passed from researcher to researcher or sold from some guy to someone else. So there's some curious things, but there's nothing that we can really, track.
You know, there are lots of curious things, especially these announcements, which will attract your attention. With Gene Randall and Kurt, you're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
We also have swag. You know, we have all these exclusive Paracast things that you can buy. We've got, like, I guess 60 or so different items. And entails T-shirts, sleeves for notebook computers, iPad cases, mouse pads, the Paracast jumbo tote bag, all sorts of T-shirts and jackets and stuff like that for men and women. We have a Paracast aluminum water bottle. All this stuff, you go to store.theparacast.com, store.theparacast.com. What makes it special is that the items are the best quality, you know, great T-shirts, fabrics, and they have our official logo on them. That's what makes them special, in multiple sizes and colors. We even have stuff for children, stuff for women, stuff for men. We have all sorts of sizes, like small up to X large. A lot of good stuff. That's the swag from the Paracast. You go to store.theparacast.com, stop by, and take a shopping tour.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Extendivite really works. Just listen to what Wayne has to say.
Extendivite. I've been taking it for about 2 years, and I had really bad heart palpitations. And since I've been taking it, I don't have any major episodes at all anymore. I'm 76 years old, and I still play competitive basketball. Well, of course, I've taken care of myself really good since I was 60, but Extendivite really helped the blood pressure, really helped the... I used to get really bad episodes of heart palpitations, just skipping beats and double beats. But also, I wanted to tell you that I really appreciate your broadcast. They're just really refreshing.
To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.